Welcoming all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have our great Sharojini Nandini Mataji. Mataji is going to enlighten us on the topic, the concepts of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna Mataji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you all
Hare
very
Krishna.
Much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. Our goes to Srila Prabhupada, our goes to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. We are very fortunate, Mataji. I'll hand out the call to you. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. I thank all of you for giving me this opportunity to speak in the holy month of Kartik. I would like to start with the Mangalacharan. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Dag Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tatya Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swami Niti Namine Namacharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Garakata Damadaya Nagara Gramatarine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhatta Vrinda Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripata Maham Vande Shri Gurundina Tarinam Hare Krishna. So today's topic, the consorts of the Supreme Lord, is very special in the month of Kartik because the month of Kartik is also known as the month of Radharani. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.35 says, Brihat Sama Tatha Samnam Gayatri Chandasamaham Masanam Margashir Soham Ritunam Kusumakaraha. So Krishna says in the 10th chapter about different aspects, and then he says that what he is special in each aspect. So among the Samaveda, he is the Brihat Sama, and among all the stotras or all the shlokas, he is Gayatri mantra. And Masana Margashishoham, among the seasons or among the months, he is known as Margashirsha. So Margashirsha is another name for November-December period. And as we know that before Krishna's name always comes Radha's name first, like Radha Krishna, Radheshyam, Sita Ram, like that. So first the consort of the Lord is mentioned, and then the Lord's name is mentioned. Therefore, the month of Kartik, which comes before this month of Margashirsha, which Krishna says, Margashirsha is himself. So the month which comes before that is Kartik, and that is the month of Radharani. And it is a month when we are meditating on pure devotional service, because she is the proprietor of pure devotional service. It is the month of Radharani. Everyone who is ordinarily sort of compromised in devotional service, in the month of Kartik, they will all try for pure devotional service. In this month, many people, they take vows to perform some special service, because this month is the month of Srimati Radharani, and Srimati Radharani is very compassionate and soft-hearted. Therefore, this month is a specially favorable time to attract her mercy. And she is noticing the services that we render. And when she recommends us to Krishna, then Krishna will also be inclined towards us. That is why we should try to perform maximum devotional service in the month of Kartik. So having said that the month of Kartik is the month of Radharani, who is Radharani? Radharani is the pleasure potency of the Lord. The Lord has different potencies. And the pleasure potency is called Radharani. And she is non-different from Krishna. Or rather, she is both one with and different from him. How could two people be one person or one person be two? It's kind of contradictory. But to understand this, let's see the example of the sun and the sunshine. The sun cannot exist without the sunshine. And the sunshine can also not exist without the sun. We say that when the sun sun is in my room, even though the sun itself, the sun planet is 93 million miles away, but because the sun appears in the form of its energy and the sunshine enters the room, we say that the sun is in my room. Therefore, the energy and the energetic are simultaneously one and different, just like how the sunshine and the sun are simultaneously one and different. Similarly, Radha and Krishna are also simultaneously one and different, although Radharani is the energy of the Lord. And she is the embodiment of pure devotional service. No one can be a greater devotee than her. The very name Radharani comes from the Sanskrit word Aradhana, which means worship. Her name is Radharani because she excels everybody in worshipping Krishna. And although Krishna is so beautiful that he can attract millions of cupids and is therefore called as Madana Mohana, but Radharani can attract even Krishna, the attractor of Cupid, and therefore she is called as Madana Mohana Mohini, the attractor of the attractor of Cupid. So one can best worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through Srimati Radharani, his supreme pleasure energy. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9.26, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Upahritam Ashnami Prayatatmanaha, that if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. But rather than offer a flower directly to Krishna, better to offer the flower to Srimati Radharani, requesting, my dear Radharani, please recommend me to your Krishna. Krishna is the supreme controller, yet he is controlled by the pure devotion of his devotees, especially Srimati Radharani. Krishna is therefore also known as the property of Radharani. So if one can please Radharani, one can very easily please Lord Krishna also. Radharani is the Paramadevata, the supreme goddess, and she is worshipable for everyone. And she is the protectress of all, and she is the mother of the entire universe. So just like how when a child wants to get something from the father, he or she always goes through the mother. So the mother, she protects the child, and she recommends or she puts forth the wishes of the child to the father. So similarly, Radharani is the mother of the entire universe. So she will recommend us to Lord Krishna. And I would like to quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita some verses which are really very nice and descriptive about Srimati Radharani. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, 4th chapter, 60th verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Ladini karaye Krishna ananda swadana, Ladini radvara kare bhaktera poshana, that The Haladini energy, she gives Krishna pleasure and she nourishes his devotees. So in the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada explains that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has three kinds of internal potencies. We all know that there is Antaranga Shakti, internal energy, Bahiranga Shakti, external energy, and Tatastha Shakti, which is marginal potency. But inside the internal potency, there are three subdivisions, namely the Haladini Shakti or the pleasure potency, the Sandhini Shakti or the existential potency, and the Samvit Shakti or cognitive potency. And in the same chapter, text 62, it is said that the transcendental potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by which he maintains his existence, is called Sandhini. The transcendental potency by which he knows himself and causes others to know him is called Samvit. And the transcendental potency by which he possesses transcendental bliss and causes his devotees to have bliss is called as Haladini. So basically, the Lord has three aspects, Sat, Chit and Ananda. And the Sandhini is the Sat aspect. Samvit is the Chit aspect. And Haladini is the Ananda aspect. So all the three energies, the total exhibition of these potencies is called as Vishuddha Sattva. So it also indicates that the Supreme Lord is beyond the three modes of material nature, Sattva, Raja and Tamas. So the Supreme Lord is beyond all these three modes of material nature. That is why he is in Vishuddha Sattva. And in the purport of text 68, Srila Prabhupada explains that the product of Haladini Shakti is love of Godhead. And that further has two divisions, namely pure love of Godhead and adulterated love of Godhead. Only when the Haladini Shakti emanates from Sri Krishna and is bestowed upon the living being to attract him, the living being becomes a pure lover of God. But when the same Haladini Shakti is adulterated by the external energy and emanates from the living being, it does not attract Krishna. On the contrary, the living being becomes attracted by the glamour of the material energy. At that time, instead of becoming mad with love of Godhead, the living being becomes mad after material sense enjoyment. And because of his association with the modes of material nature, he is captivated by the interactions of distressful, unhappy feelings. So it means to say that when the living being can choose whether to have the Haladini Shakti in the emanating from Krishna or the adulterated one which comes emanates from the living being. So the living being can choose that. And also further in verse 76 in the same chapter, fourth chapter of Adi Lila, verse 76 says, Avatari Krishna yache kare avatara amshini radha hai te tina ganera vistara. This means that just as the fountainhead Lord Krishna is the cause of all incarnations, so Sri Radha is the cause of all these consorts. So all the consorts are all expansions of Srimati Radharani. And further in text 78, it is said, the goddess of fortune, goddesses of fortune are her plenary portions and they display the forms of Vaibhava Vilas. The queens are of the nature of her Vaibhava Prakash. So whatever expansions we know, whatever consorts we know, they are all expansions of Radharani and her plenary portion. So even the goddess of fortune is the expansion or the plenary portion of Radharani. Verse 79 also says, the Vraja Devis have diverse bodily features and they are her expansions and are instruments for expanding Rasa. So when Krishna wants to expand his Rasa, because very limited people is only limited rasa. So when he wants to expand his rasa and increase his mellow of relating with his devotees, he expands. That's why there are so many consorts. Without many consorts, there is no such exhaustion in rasa. Therefore, there are many manifestations of Srimati Radharani to assist in the Lord's pastimes. So these are all the pastimes of the Lord that he expands into many different forms, and that Srimati Radharani also expands into many different consorts. So this is what is explained also in the verse 80. And the verse 82 says that Radharani, who is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda, and she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the crest jewel of all his consorts. So again and again, this point is stressed that the origin of all consorts is Radharani. And in verse 83, it is said the transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune, and she possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. So she is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. And other consorts are all coming from her. Srimati Radharani, however, relates to the Lord in Parakya Rasa. Now, what is Parakya Rasa? We all know that there are four different rasas, and that Madhurya Rasa is the highest expression of love. And in Madhurya Rasa, there are two divisions. One is Parakya, that is Parama love, and Swakya, which is married love. And of the two, Parakya Rasa is described as higher. And Parakya Rasa refers to the gopis. Swakya Rasa refers to Krishna's queens in Vrindavana. Krishna's queens in Dwaraka. In his purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita Adhilila, 4th chapter, 50th text, Srila Prabhupada explains that there is a great increase of mellow in the unmated conjugal mood. Why? Because of the risks involved in such love of Godhead. But however, the validity of such risk is possible only in the transcendental realm. Now, one cannot understand it in the material platform of a paramour love, because even when Krishna comes to the material world and enacts his pastimes in Vrindavana, when he had such rasa with the gopis and Radharani, it was in the transcendental realm. And if one sees from the materialistic point of view, then he cannot understand the pastimes. So when he came to Vrindavana also, he performed in the transcendental realm. And Swakya and Parakya, conjugal love of Godhead, have no existence in the material world. So both are not there. Parakya is not even exhibited anywhere in Vaikuntha, but it is only in the portion of Goloka Vrindavana known as Vraja. So that's why it is very special, because it is in the mood of Radharani and the gopis. Now the gopis, they do not own anything. They have no children, no houses or place where Krishna lives as their lord and husband. They are not even sure of their relationship with Krishna, because at any moment they may be separated from him. But still, they exist only for Krishna's pleasure. As Lord Chaitanya says in the 8th verse of the Shikshashtakam, Aslishya vapadaratam pinashtumam adarshanan marmahatam karotuva yatha tathava vidadatulam pato matprananatastu saivanaparaha. But I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything because he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. And so this is the mood of the gopis, that there is no guarantee of reciprocation from Krishna. But still, they consider Krishna as everything, and they just exist for Krishna's pleasure. This is their mood. Now, this mood is different from the queens of Dwarka, who have a sense of possession along with their relationship with Krishna. So that is why the Parakya Rasa is even more greater, because there is no guarantee. And the queens of Dwarka, they are in the mood of Swakya Rasa, or direct wedded love with Krishna. So Srimati Radharani is the greatest devotee and topmost among the gopis of Vrindavana who relate to Krishna in the Parakya Rasa. And we all know about her and have heard a lot of pastimes about Srimati Radharani, of how she, along with the gopis of Vrindavana, would enact the pastimes of Krishna in a mood of separation from him, and she was always completely absorbed in Krishna. So today, I wanted to talk a little bit about the consort in Swakiya Rasa. The Supreme Lord has many different energies, and whenever he incarnates, he comes with his energies. We all know this. So when Krishna expands as Vishnu, Srimati Radharani, she expands as Lakshmi. And when Krishna expands as Lord Ramachandra, Srimati Radharani expands as Sita Devi. So like that, whenever Krishna expands himself, Srimati Radharani also expands and comes as one of the consorts. Among the Swakiya consorts of the Supreme Lord, two of the most important are Sri Devi and Bhu Devi, according to the South Indian Sri Vaishnava philosophy. But basically, they were none other than Rukmini and Satyabhama among the queens of Dwaraka. And a special incarnation of Bhu Devi or Mother Earth was Andal. So we're going to talk a little bit about her here. Bhu Devi is Mother Earth herself. We all know that Sri Devi is Goddess Lakshmi. And Bhu Devi is not very well known. She is Mother Earth herself. And she was saved by the Lord when he appeared as Varaha Deva from Hiranyaksha, who had tried to hide her inside the ocean when he was trying to challenge the Supreme Lord. He hid Mother Earth inside the ocean. And the Supreme Lord came as Varaha Deva to save her. So this is the instance where we have heard about Bhu Devi. Now, in the Sri Vaishnava philosophy, there are 12 great devotees called as the Alvars. And Andal, who is the incarnation of Bhu Devi, is the ninth Alvar among the 12. And she was the daughter of Peri Alvar, who was also one of the Alvars. And he was born in the banks of Vaigai River in a town called as Srivilliputtur in Tamil Nadu, India. And Andal, in her childhood, was known as Goda Devi. And the birth of Andal is a very nice story. Peri Alvar, who was one of the Alvars, was also known as Vishnu Chittar. And he was managing a flower garland in Srivilliputtur. And he used to grow some Tulsi Devi and many other flowers in his garden. And his service was that every day he used to make garlands out of these flowers and Tulsi leaves. And he offered them to the Supreme Lord in Srivilliputtur, who was Sri Vatapatra Sai. So this was his service, and he used to do this every day. But from a long time, he also had a longing for a child. And once when he was digging in his garden, he found a small baby girl in the ground, whom he named as Goda Devi. So this is very similar to the story of Janaka Maharaja, of how he had got Sita from the ground. So he found this baby girl and he was very happy. He took her to his home and he named her Goda Devi. Go has several meanings. One is go means that senses. Go means also cows. Go can also mean a prayer and glorification. And Da means to give. And because Goda Devi, she comprised a lot of poems or composed a lot of poems in glorification of the Supreme Lord. She is known as Goda, means that the woman who offers the Lord a beautiful garland of glorification. So she is giving glorification to the Lord. That's why Da means to give. And from her childhood, she had very deep love for the Supreme Lord Hari. When she was growing up, she was, as usual, playful, like a normal child. She used to play and be immersed in her own world of games. And because Peri Alvar was very busy with his services, either in the garden or in the temple or in making garlands, he could not pay a lot of attention to her. And in her playful mood, Goda Devi used to play with the garlands that her father, Peri Alvar, made for the Lord. And she used to wear the garland on her hair and on her neck in various different ways. And she used to look herself in the mirror and see and appreciate herself. Wow, this looks so nice. And then silently she used to keep it back. So every day she used to do this. And because Peri Alvar was very busy with his different services in the garden, in the temple, he did not notice that Goda Devi was playing with the garlands like this. And without knowing, he used to offer these garlands to Vatapatra Sai. Originally, in deity worship, in Artha Vigraha Seva, there are very strict rules and regulations. It has to be done in a very clean manner. One has to take bath, one has to offer very clean paraphernalia to the Lord. So that's why the rules and regulations are very strict in deity worship. Whatever we offer to the Lord should not have been offered to anyone else before. That is the rule. That's the reason even when we cook for the Lord, the bhoga is not supposed to be even seen by anyone other than those cooking for the Lord. Because what's wrong in seeing the bhoga? Only when you honor it, then it becomes wrong. What's wrong in seeing? One may ask that. But by seeing the different varieties of bhoga that has been cooked for the Lord, one may develop a desire to eat them. And this feeling is not good. That is why when the devotees take bhoga from the kitchen to the altar, which may be sometimes a little far apart, the offering plate is covered with a cloth so that no one sees it. So similarly, the flowers are also supposed to be offered to the Lord first, and then we are supposed to honor it after the Lord has honored it. So that's why the flowers, the water and the bhoga are all offered to the Lord first. And after the Lord honors it, it becomes prasad. And then we accept it. Even for the garlands, it is the same thing. That is just as how when we offer food or bhoga to the Supreme Lord, and after he eats it, it becomes prasad. The garlands also becomes prasad garlands. So the prasad flower garlands, which has been offered to the Supreme Lord or to his great devotees, is called as nirmalya. And when we get it, we have to wear it on our body, at least for some time, so that it purifies our mind and body. Because the garland has been worn by the Supreme Lord, it kind of purifies our mind. So it is always good for us to honor any prasadam garland that has been given to us. But in case of Andal, the opposite was happening. She used to wear the garlands first, and then look herself in the mirror and appreciate her beauty, and then she used to silently keep it back. And Periyalva did not even know about this. And he used to offer it to the Supreme Lord. So this kept happening for quite some time. One day, Periyalva noticed that some of the flowers that he had used to make the garlands were stuck in Goda Devi's hair. And upon seeing this, he got curious and he asked her how this could be possible. When she narrated that how she used to play with the garlands every day and wear it herself and then keep it back, she got terribly angry. He lost control. Now, in general, he had brought her up with lots of love and affection and he had given her a lot of freedom. But when he came to know about this, he lost his temper and he started scolding her very much. He told her, "Do you know what big offense you have committed? You made me also commit an offense to the Supreme Lord. By your wearing the flower garlands, you have contaminated the garlands. And I have also offered such impure garlands to the Supreme Lord." And saying so, anyway, what is the use of scolding? So he became upset, very upset. And that day, he did not offer any garland to the Lord. And in a very sad mood, thinking about the same thing, he went to sleep in the night. In the dream, in the night, the Supreme Lord, Vatapatra Sai, himself came and asked him angrily, "Vishnuchitra, why you had not offered any garland to me today?" And then, in reply, Periyalvar apologized to the Lord, saying that, "Oh my Lord, oh my dear Lord, please forgive me. And I had not taken good care of my daughter. And she had worn the garlands herself every day. And without monitoring this, without knowing this, I have been offering the impure garlands to you, my Lord. So when I came to know about this today, I was wondering how I can offer this impure garland to you. And so I did not offer them to you at all. And next time, I will ensure that this does not happen, my dear Lord. Please forgive me that I have been committing this offense without my knowledge. I'll make sure that this does not happen again." So upon hearing this, the Lord replied, saying, "Impure? No, no, no. What do you mean impure? Please know that this garland has become more purer because of Goda Devi wearing it. And the garlands that have been worn by Goda Devi is more fragrant than the normal garlands. And I don't want to accept any other garland other than the ones worn by her. So if you at all want to serve me, you first offer it to your daughter, Goda Devi first. So this is kind of instruction that the Supreme Lord gave, that, you know, even Periyalva was very surprised and shocked to hear this. Because generally we have to follow the basic rules and regulations of cleanliness when we do deity worship. And in the general sense, if you see the garlands, if worn by anyone else, has become impure and we cannot offer it to the Supreme Lord. But we cannot imitate Andal by wearing the garlands first, or we cannot imitate Shabari, who used to taste the fruits before offering them to the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. Shabari also used to taste the fruits because she wanted to make sure that the fruits were not sour. So we cannot imitate such great devotees. These are for special and great devotees of the Lord. Because the Lord is Bhavagrahi, he is more attached to the loving feelings of his devotees. And rather than the rules and regulations mentioned in the scriptures, he is more attracted by the sincere and deep love of his devotees. So he sees the sincerity and genuine loving feeling of a devotee rather than external factors. For example, if a devotee is very good at singing, if a devotee is not very good at singing and he is singing a song in glorification of the Lord with deep loving feelings, from an external point of view, it may appear to be very unpleasant, out of note in a musical sense, but still the Supreme Lord will be very satisfied with such sincere singing. And although it might seem that someone sings very beautiful like a Gandharva, but if he is not singing with devotion to the Supreme Lord, please the Supreme Lord, but he is singing with the intention of getting appreciation from others, that however pleasant it might sound, the Lord does not accept it. Because he is Bhavagrahi, he sees the mood and the sincerity of a devotee, not the external factors. Even when Lord Krishna, he went to Hastinapura as a messenger of peace, as Shanti Duta, Duryodhana, he wanted to captivate Lord Krishna. So he offered 56 bhog, 56 varieties of bhoga to Supreme Lord Krishna. But because Duryodhana had a deceitful attitude and Lord Krishna knew about this, he did not accept Duryodhana's offering. Instead, he preferred to go to the house of Vidura, who was very simple and nice devotee. But when he went to Vidura's house, they did not have anything to offer him. And out of haste and out of tension, Vidura's wife, she did not know what to offer him. So she was wondering how I can cook and offer because it's going to take more time. So she offered to some bananas to the Supreme Lord Krishna. And in her bewilderment of seeing the Lord, she did not know what she was doing. So she started offering him banana peels while throwing away the bananas. But Krishna accepted it happily because he was accepting the loving devotion of Vidura's wife. So he accepted it and he even ate the banana peels. So this is how Krishna is. He sees the feelings of a devotee or the bhava in which a devotee offers him. So although it is important for all practicing devotees in general to be very clean in deity worship, because of her deep and innocent love for the Lord, Andal had won the Lord's heart. So much so that the Lord himself told that with her devotion, Andal had made the garlands more fragrant by wearing it. So I like to wear those garlands worn by Andal. Periyalvar, upon hearing this, he was really wonderstruck. He was thinking that, you know, my daughter, she must be someone special, like Sri Devi or Bhu Devi. She must not be an ordinary girl. So from then on, he started seeing his daughter as the Supreme Lord's wife. And every day he used to make sure, because of the Supreme Lord Vattapatra Sai's order, he used to make sure that the garlands were worn nicely by Andal. And then he used to offer it to Vattapatra Sai. And from then on, her name became Sudi Kodutta Nachiyar. It means that the person or the woman who offered the garlands worn by her first. So as she slowly grew up, her devotion towards the Lord also grew. And seeing her devotion, Perialvar was wonderstruck. She used to get so immersed in meditating the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavana, like how in a mood of separation in Viraha Bhava, the gopis used to enact these pastimes. She used to be absorbed in all those pastimes. And she used to be in the mood of the gopis. And in that mood, she composed two stotras or poems glorifying the Lord. One is called as Tirupavai, which has 30 shlokas explaining about a divine austerities to attain the Lord. And this vrata is generally followed in the winter season. And the second one is Nachiyar Tirumuri. These two stotras, they're all considered part of Nalayir Divya Prabandham, which is considered very important for the Sri Vaishnavas. So some odd time passed like this, and her devotion became so intense that while sitting, while eating, while sleeping, while waking up, while walking, all the time throughout the day and night, she longed for the Supreme Lord. And she was doing everything thinking about him. And when Periyarvar saw that her devotion is growing so much with her age, as a responsible father thinks, he wanted to get her married because she was growing up. But he was wondering who was a qualified groom for her and who would accept her with her intense devotion for the Supreme Lord, because she's completely absorbed in thinking about the Supreme Lord all the time. So one day he went and asked her, "Andal, whom do you want to marry? Do you have anybody in your mind?" And upon hearing this, Andal became extremely angry and she said, "Whichever day I marry someone of this world, that would be my last day." And once, even Lord Krishna, he was teasing Rukmini at Dwaraka, that he was telling her that so many kings were there, qualified kings came to marry you, but you rejected all of them and you married me. So even if you want to marry someone else now, you are free to do so. I give you the permission. But at this point, when Krishna was saying this, Rukmini was already married to Krishna for many years, and she had had many children from him, and also the children were also married. So upon hearing this, at that point, she fell unconscious. And when she came back to consciousness, she explained that, you know, however qualified any other king may be, she cannot think of anybody other than Krishna. And she requested Krishna not to talk like that anymore. So she was so completely surrendered to Lord Krishna. So like that, even Andal, she was so completely absorbed in Supreme Lord, that she could not think of anyone in this material world. And when Andal said this angrily, Periyalvar apologized to her and asked, "Okay, which god you want to marry?" Because there are 108 Divya Desams or temples, according to the Sri Vaishnava philosophy, that if you visit all the 108 Divya Desams with proper mood and full surrender, then one is qualified to enter into Vaikuntha. So these 108 Divya Desams are very famous. They are spread all over India, in North India, in East, South and West directions. So he started describing, because Andal asked for the description of all the deities in all the 108 temples. So then Periyarvar described about all the deities of all the 108 temples. And at the end, he described about Sri Ranganath, which is in Sri Rangam in South India. And when she heard about Sri Ranganath, suddenly tears started flowing profusely down her eyes and her body started to tremble. And she made a resolve in her mind that she would marry only Sri Ranganath. And she also made a stotra in praise of Sri Ranganath. And when Periyalvar heard that she wanted to marry Sri Ranganath, he was happy, but he got worried also that how can my daughter, who is a human being, get married to someone who is get married to God himself, the Supreme Lord? How is all the ceremony going to happen? Because he also wanted to be practical, although she is saying this. So he got anxious about her marriage, and slowly thinking about this, he fell asleep. And in his dream, Lord Sri Ranganath himself appeared and told, "My dear Vishnu Chittas, I want to marry your daughter Anda, and all arrangements will happen. Please do not worry." And when he woke up from the sleep, he was very happy, extremely happy, thinking about the dream. But on the other side, he was also wondering how this was all going to happen. So Sri Ranganath also made arrangements. On the other side, he came in the dream of the pujari of Sri Ranganath temple, and in the dream he told all his servants that, "My dear servants, it is time for me to get married." So with all the paraphernalia, like chamara, peacock feather, and with the palanquin, "Please go to Sri Viliputur, where my would-be wife would be waiting for me. So get prepared soon to leave." So when he gave such an instruction to the pujari of the Ranganath temple, he actually narrated this dream to all the others in the temple. And the head pujari, he immediately made arrangements to leave, and a party left with the palanquin and all the paraphernalia to Sri Viliputur. And when they reached Sri Viliputur, the head pujari, he went and told Periyalvar that the Lord has ordered that he wants to get married to your daughter, and we have come to take you and her. When Periyalvar heard this, he also wanted to ask his worshipable deity, Vatapatra Sai's permission before leaving, because he was attached to Vatapatra Sai. Now, Vatapatra Sai and Sri Ranganath, they are non-different, but still, some devotees have special attraction towards some deities. So he asked Vatapatra Sai, and Lord Vatapatra Sai told him that, you know, please do as Lord Sri Ranganath said. And Periyalvar was extremely happy, with great happiness, he informed his daughter, "See, Andal, whatever you desired for a long time is going to get fulfilled. See, all these people from Sri Ranganath temple have come here with all the paraphernalia to take you so that you can get married to him." And so Andal also got dressed up in her wedding clothes, and Periyalvar gave her new clothes and ornaments, and then made her sit on the palanquin. Then he thought, "Now that my daughter is going to get married to the Supreme Lord and become his wife, she is not worthy of even being seen by ordinary men." So he covered the palanquin on all sides with curtain. And while traveling to Srirangam from Srivilliputtur, all the people started singing the glories of Andal by saying, "Glory be to Andal who wrote the Tirupave Shlokas. Glory be to that Andal who wore the garlands on herself before offering to the Lord." Like this, they were glorifying her while traveling to Srirangam. And when they reached Srirangam, many people had gathered there, because a lot of people had heard about this story, and this is not something ordinary that was happening, because a normal human being getting married to the Supreme Lord, how this was going to happen, everybody were very curious. So huge crowds and great numbers had gathered there to witness this ceremony, this wondrous ceremony. And among the people gathered there, even Raja Vallabhdev, who was a disciple of Periyalvar, had also come there. And they all took the palanquin inside the temple. And when the palanquin reached the altar of the Lord and she was face to face with the Lord, the curtains were removed, and slowly Andal came out in her wedding clothes. Now this was a moment of excitement for everybody, because everybody were watching to see how this marriage was going to happen. So slowly she went into the garbhagriha, or the internal quarters of the altar, and everybody were holding their breath and then seeing to see what was happening. Slowly, she focused her eyes on Sri Ranganath and reached the foot of Sri Ranganath's deity. And so she also had another name, Keshava Nindya Kal Pirittaval, the one who serves the lotus feet of Keshava. Then she went ahead and climbed on top of Sheshanag, who was the bed of the Lord. Now in Srirangam, the deity of the Lord, if you have seen the deity of the Lord, It is very big, and he is in a lying down position. He is lying down on Ananta Sesham. So if one wants to have full darshan of the deities, one has to see from 2-3 doors. One door to see the face, one door to see the foot, one door to see the body. So like that, it's very big deity. So he is facing towards south, and his face is facing towards south. Although he is lying down, his face is facing towards south. Because there is a special reason for it, this, because generally the deities see the east direction. But in Srirangam alone, the Lord's face is towards the south, because he had special favor for Vibhishan. And the story of how Srirangam, the Rangana deities came to Srirangam is that Vibhishan, when Lord Rama was leaving from this from Lanka, he was asking that, you know, Lord Ram, you might go away to Ayodhya, but you know, I will definitely miss you. If I want to worship you, and if I want to have your darshan, how can I, you know, worship you? So then the Lord Ramachandra, he gave him the deities of Sri Ranganath, and then he told him that you can worship Sri Ranganath deities, but you should not keep it down anywhere. If you keep it down, then the deities will stay there. But while coming back to Lanka from Ayodhya, he had some urgent work to do, so he put the deities down, and when he came back from his work, he saw that the Lord would not move from that place. And so he was very upset. But the Lord told him that it was his desire to stay there. So he understood that the Lord wanted to be in Srirangam, and so he left from there. But the Lord is showing special mercy towards Vibhishan, so that Vibhishan also, it is believed that Vibhishan comes there every now and then to worship the Supreme Lord there. So this is how the deity in Srirangam temple is. So now Anda, she was going nearer to the Lord. She had climbed on top of Sheshanag, and suddenly, as everybody was seeing, Anda disappeared, and she merged into the body of Sri Ranganath. Now everybody in the crowd, they could not believe this. So they were starting to talk with each other, and then, you know, making a lot of noise, because she had suddenly disappeared. But this merging is not like the merging of the impersonalist with the Brahma Jyoti. We have to understand this, because Andal is Bhudevi herself. And she reached Vaikuntha through the medium of the Lord's body or the deity. So she went back to Vaikuntha to serve the Lord eternally there. Not that she lost her personality, but she went back to Vaikuntha through the medium of the Lord's body, because she is Bhudevi herself. She is the consort of the Supreme Lord. And everybody watched this scene in astonishment, and Periyalvar did not even expect that this would happen. He was very happy that she was the father of such a great devotee of the Lord, and that the Lord had made him an instrument to raise his daughter Bhudevi. He was feeling very fortunate. But also he had raised her from childhood, from 15 years, and had developed so much of attachment towards her that when he saw her merge into the deity form of the Lord, he started crying profusely, because he had a lot of attachment for her. But the Lord, from inside the garbhagriha or the inside quarters of the altar, he said in a tumultuous voice, "Please bring Vishnu Chitra near me." So the pujaris brought him inside, and then the Lord told Periyalvar, "My dear Periyalvar, you are my respectful father-in-law. Just as the deity of the milk ocean, Kshira Sagara, he gave the hands of his daughter Shri in marriage to me, you have given me your daughter Andal in marriage, and she is my wife. It is my order that you go back to Shri Viliputur and keep serving Vatapatra Sai and keep waiting for your death. And when appropriate time comes, your death will happen and you will come back to my abode of Vaikuntha." Upon hearing this, Periyalvar was a little pacified, and he left from there. And all the people were still wonderstruck with the incidents. They could not still believe what had happened. So the story of how Bhudevi appeared as Andal is also very interesting and nice story, that Bhudevi once told the Lord that, you know, your servant Vainateya, Vainateya is Garuda himself, because he's known as Vainateya because he's the son of Vinata. So she says that your dear servant Vainateya is serving you in the material world in the form of Vishnu Chitta. So I want to become his daughter and also serve you in your mission of preaching. So Bhudevi had requested the Lord. So that's why the Lord also became happy and he accepted her request. And then he said, sure, you will go there and appear as Goda Devi. And I will only wear the garlands that you wear on yourself first. And you will also preach through your poems and devotion in South India. You will be the form, of course, you will be in the form of a human being. And then you will get married to me and then come back to Vaikuntha, back to me. So this is how he had blessed her. And so she came down as Andal. And then when she merged into the deity form of Sri Ranganath, she went back to Vaikuntha. So this is a beautiful story of Andal. And we can learn a lot of nice things from the story of Andal. That, you know, although a lot of great devotees, they were all very young in age. And Andal was hardly 15 years when she was getting married. So in order to become a good devotee, a long life is not required. Even in a very young age, at a very young age, anybody can become a good devotee. So among the 12 Alvars, Andal was the only woman. So it does not matter in devotion if one is a woman or a man, or belonging to a low caste or anything, because in bhakti there is only one rule. The rule is that one has to have devotion. In general, there are some distinctions between men and women in Vedic tradition for spiritual activities like Upanayanam. Like Upanayanam is only performed for men, and yajnas are only performed by men. Although in the yajna, both the husband and wife are supposed to sit together. Husband does not perform yajna separately. He has to sit with his wife. But still the yajnas, the brahmanas performing yajna are all only men. So, but in bhakti, there is no difference. One can reach the peak of devotion in this very lifetime, whether one is in a man's body or a woman's body. There is no distinction in bhakti based on caste, creed, sex or nation. Here, the only consideration is the eternal relationship of the soul with the super soul, as the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, Dasa Dasanu Das. That is the only criterion in bhakti. And Andal has set an example of how one should have deep love for the Supreme Lord and go back to his abode. This is how we can go back to his abode. So by following in the path of great devotees like her, we can also achieve the supreme destination, which is Krishna Prema. So with this beautiful story of Andal, I would like to conclude here and open the forum for any corrections, questions, comments. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for a wonderful class, Mataji. Very valuable points. If anybody has any questions, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji, very beautiful class with many pastimes, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for enlightening on this topic on this special auspicious month, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you, Anya Mataji and Vardhana Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, then with Pranam.
Hare Krishna
Mataji. Like many things I did not know about, but then in such a nice, cool manner without rushing up, you like so nicely you covered up. Thank you, I need to hear it again. It's really, really wonderful. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much for your services. Hare Bol.
Thank you, Mataji, for giving me the opportunity and also such nice, encouraging words.
Hare Krishna Mataji, I just had one query over here. Like when Andal like merged into the Lord, so is it the same consideration over in South India also, that she merged, or is it again that impersonal philosophy over there somewhere, like she merged into the Lord as the, like how we have the Mayavadi philosophy? Is anything of that? Sorry, I do not know, so I'm asking. Don't need to...
Are you asking if they consider the merging of Andal as similar to the impersonalist?
Yes. Yes. Because no, I do not know what the philosophy is.
Thank you, Mataji, for asking that. Basically, they are also, Sri Vaishnavas are also in the Dvaita philosophy, that they are not Advaita, they are not impersonalist. So when Andal merged into the Supreme Lord, it is not considered as merging of the impersonalist. They do not believe like that as well.
Okay, Mataji, okay. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Hi, boy.
Thank you. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Okay, so I think we can end the call here with a jay to Kartik month, and a special jay to Radharani's month and Damodar month. Thank you all very much for giving me this opportunity to speak during Kartik and Masa and share my realizations on the topic and thought of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mataji, for class. We are very grateful to you. We look forward for your session again, Mataji. If nobody have any question, can we end the call here? Paying obeisances to Mataji and all the devotees. Vancha Kalpata Rukvetya, Kuta Hindu Vaya, Pandita Nan Pavanevya, Vaishnavya Namah. Ananda Koti Vaishnavunda Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sadhya Sarodhi Nandri Mataji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Beautiful class.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.